So we're continuing as far as choosing a rabbi. I want to go back from the questions raised during the break. I understood that there was a point that was a little bit unclear as far as how you find a rabbi. So we said the different criteria, and obviously it's ideal if you have a rabbi in your location. If you live in a yeshuv, try to find out there what rabbis exist. If you have a hard time discovering what your options are in your location, so get in touch with us here at Machon Meir. We'll try to help you out to find a rabbi in your location. Usually, you go to shul, you see who the rabbi is. You speak to people, you find out the different rabbis in the location. You can find out pretty quickly. Today, you could also go online and find out what rabbis exist in a certain neighborhood. But it's always good to check out who a person is. Not every person that wears a black hat and wears a long coat and calls himself a rabbi is really someone you should be asking your questions to. And you can't rely that he'll tell you he's not a person you should ask your questions to, because he might hold he is. Like we mentioned earlier, there are people who were in Machon Meir for a few months and put on a black hat and a long coat and decided they could answer other people's questions. Whether that's legitimate or not, the answer is definitely not. But they didn't tell anyone that. They just put on that long coat and that hat and started answering questions to people who knew less than them. So location is an advantage. And here we'll go on to the question of a few rabbis. Location isn't critical in our day and age. In marriage, there are certain questions that you must have a rabbi who you could see face to face. For halachic questions, certain halachic questions require a rabbi you could ask face to face. But if you don't have a rabbi who you feel comfortable with for all your other questions, it is feasible to have a long-distance rabbi. Have a rabbi you call up with most of your questions. Most questions can be asked by phone when you're married, so there are certain questions of family purity that you need to see a rabbi face to face. But other than that, most questions you could ask long distance. But here you run into a problem that's the reverse. You'll call up your rabbi in Zurich and you'll ask him which Hashem are good in Israel, and his answer is going to be, I don't know. You'll call up your rabbi in Zurich and you'll ask him, can I attend the fairs that are in such and such a location? Is the Erev in my yeshuv good or not? He's not going to be able to answer you. So you lose. Just like a rabbi who's totally Israeli lacks the understanding of your background, by the same token, a rabbi from where you come from will lack the understanding of Israeli society. The ideal is a rabbi who knows both, if we're talking about ideal. And if you can't have both, then you can at least try to cover your bases. When you have a few rabbis, you run into the problem of, can you ask two rabbis the same question? Now, in essence, you're not supposed to do that. The Gemara tells us, "Hanishal lechacham nasar, alishal lechacham yatir." You ask the rabbi, and he said it's prohibited. You're not supposed to ask another rabbi, and he'll say it's permitted. There is a technicality. There's a way of getting around that. But here we have to discern between your rabbi and not your rabbi. Meaning, if a person decides, so-and-so is my rabbi, and whatever he says I do, so then he has to go with whatever he says. He should ask him his questions, and ideally one should try to find such a rabbi. And that alleviates certain issues within marriage, because you found the rabbi, and where he's lenient, you go with his leniencies, and you have nothing to worry about. Where he's stringent, you go with his stringencies. And then there is no tension within the marriage. The second you enter the realm, well, let's ask someone else, so then you've really opened the Pandora's box. You're going to ask the rabbi, can we use a Shabbos elevator? The rabbi says it's permitted. Your wife says, I don't feel comfortable stepping into a Shabbos elevator. You say, well, it's our cousin's bar mitzvah, and they're doing it at the fair and hotel. They're renting out the 23rd and 24th floor. You're pregnant. You're not climbing 23 flights. She says, you're right, we're not going. You say, well, why shouldn't we go? We could use the Shabbos elevator. She says, I'm not comfortable using a Shabbos elevator. But we asked the rabbi, and the rabbi said, it's permitted to use a Shabbos elevator. But I'm not comfortable. The second you're going to start second guessing, so then there's no end for the leniency, for the stringency. It's not to your benefit. There can be times that you'll ask the rabbi, I understood there's another opinion. What does the Rav say about this other opinion? Can I rely on it? And you can also ask the rabbi for permission. Is it okay if I ask another rabbi? Because I heard there are rabbis that permit this. sometimes the rabbi will say, well, no Orthodox rabbi is going to permit this. And sometimes the rabbi is going to say, well, maybe there are other opinions, you're welcome to check. And sometimes the rabbi is going to say, well, I'm telling you, knowing you and your wife, that even if you find that there's an opinion that permits it, what's best for you is go with this opinion. That's not what's good for you. And this can go in both directions. Hopefully you'll have a rabbi that knows you. So when we mention the option of having more than one rabbi, the intent is not that you'll ask and compare notes. But rather the intent is that there will be certain questions that you'll ask this rabbi, and certain questions you'll ask that rabbi. Taking the example of the guy out in the West Coast, when he has questions about the Erev in the West Coast, he has to ask the rabbi there. That's the rabbi who knows the Erev in the West Coast. When he has questions about the kashrus of certain restaurants or the kashrus on the West Coast, chances are the rabbi on the West Coast knows that. But if he has questions, well, should I make aliyah? Questions about should I say bracha on Yom HaTzmaut and Halal or not? And his rabbi is a rabbi in Mechon Meir, so then he'll ask that question to that rabbi here. That's okay. But to start asking the rabbi here, and then comparing notes with the rabbi there, and then start saying, well, he said this, and he said that, now what do you do? That's not right. Technically, if you have a shaila that you want to verify the answer to, what you can do is say in advance, I'm not asking him a halachic shaila, I'm asking him a theoretical shaila. And then you word the shaila, and you ask the rabbi, well, should a person say a bracha on Halal on Yom HaTzmaut? You didn't ask your own shaila, so then you're less obligated to what he said, provided he isn't your rabbi. If you've been beneficial enough to find someone who is your rabbi, then you're supposed to go with whatever his ruling is to you. And here we're touching on a very important point. Quotes in the name of a rabbi are usually worthless, and often worse than worthless. If you are told that Rabbi so-and-so rules like this, disregard it. It is irrelevant to you. Unless you heard it from a rabbi, the fact that someone says he ruled that way means nothing. A guy comes to me and says, you know, I just ate in Burger King yesterday. I forgot that it's not kosher. Just before I flew to Israel, a guy came, true story, 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, a guy comes knocking on the door. He says, hi, I'm a new student at Mechon Meir. I just came in from whatever country it was, and when I was sitting in the airport, I forgot that I'm eating kosher. I went into the Burger King, I ate a cheeseburger, non-kosher meat with milk, the works. What am I supposed to do now? I say, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to Israel, welcome to my house, can I offer you a drink, how are you doing? My name is Netanel Frankenthal, I'm glad you made it, can I offer you a yarmulke? Yes. Good, thank you. Here's the yarmulke. Welcome to Mechon Meir. You came today, no one's around. Why don't we sit down, talk a little bit, who are you, where are you from? And I tell them, look buddy, don't worry about the cheeseburger. Let's focus on building a positive future. You're working forward. We have ups, we have downs, you forgot, it happens. Your whole life you ate cheeseburgers, you meant to stop. Good, so now you're in Israel, now you'll stop. Let's work forward. The guy comes back to Mechon Meir. Rabbi Frankenthal said that if you ate a cheeseburger, there's no problem, just work forward in life. No problem. Okay, did I say that? Never said that. That's not what I said. That's what I said. The guy just walked in off the plane and it happened to happen, and then I understood that that's the correct answer, in my humble opinion, for him. But he walks back into Mechon Meir and said, I came to Rabbi Frankenthal's house, I ate a cheeseburger, I told him it's not kosher meat, I told him it's meat with milk, he said, here, have a yarmulke, have a drink, don't worry about it, think to the future. That's what I said. Yeah, technically, that's what I said. You hear a quote, don't believe it. And even if you believe it, it has no relevance to you. When a rabbi gives a halachic ruling to an individual, he gave it to that individual. It is not a halachic ruling for anyone else. You have to verify what is the source. The Gemara itself questions when the Gemara has quotes. And the Gemara will say, Lav Gushmanka de Mar Baravashi Chatinarei. We don't have the signature of Mar Baravashi sealed on this quote that it's a reliable quote. And even if it were a reliable quote, who was the quote given to? So if the Gemara questions quotes, we certainly have to question quotes. It's famous that when people used to come to Avraham Shapiro Zatzal and tell him, I heard the Rav said this, and I heard the Rav said that, and I heard the Rav said the other thing, he'd begin by saying, now you know what I didn't say. Now let's understand the question, and I'll tell you what I did say. The rule is, just because you heard a quote, doesn't have relevance to you. You could hear 1,000 quotes, many of them, if not most of them, are misquotes. And even if they're true, that doesn't mean that that's what's relevant for you. Halacha is individual. So when we're trying to verify halacha, we should ask one rabbi. Hopefully we have one rabbi who we ask our questions. And it is feasible at times to find out different opinions and come back to your rabbi and say, I understand there's this opinion and that opinion. What am I supposed to do? Very often guys come to me and say, I hear some rabbis say, do keep 2 days Yom Tov. I hear some rabbis say, when you're in Eretz Yisrael, don't keep 2 days Yom Tov. What am I supposed to do? So you guys know my standard answer. Don't ask me. If you ask me, I have a tradition what the halachic ruling on that is. I'm going to answer you with my tradition. But you don't have to ask me, so don't ask me. If I'm your rabbi, fine. But I always recommend take someone else. So, ideally we're trying to find a rabbi located where we are. Ideally we're trying to find a rabbi who understands our background. And if we need to, sometimes we'll have two rabbis. One who understands our background and who we can consult with by phone or email or however it is. And one who is located locally who will help us with the local shaylos. What we're left with is the last question of taking advice, and here we'll have to summarize for lack of time. We've already gone over time. You're not obligated to any advice that any rabbi tells you. Any issue that isn't halacha, you're not obligated to listen at all. You can take his advice, you cannot take his advice. If you as a couple have decided to go to a rabbi and your question is, should we smack our kid or not? And the rabbi says, no using physical force in chinuch. So you come home and you smack the kid and your wife says, hey, wait a second, the rabbi said no, you got a problem. If you and your spouse agreed, you're going to go to the rabbi and accept what he said, so that's your and your spouse's issue. But halachically, you're not responsible to listen to any advice. A rabbi can give you advice, and a rabbi, it's worth hearing what he has to say. You don't have to accept what he has to say. When it's not halacha, not obligated at all. It's worthwhile. Sometimes he has experience. I hope you'll find a rabbi who can explain to you the reasoning in most instances behind why he says something. You can't always explain it. Sometimes a person comes with a shaila, and you see where he's holding. He can't understand all the aspects of the answer, even though it's a question of advice. A guy comes and asks you, I really miss my grandparents, I want to go visit them. You know his grandparents are Christian. You know he's going to go there to an environment where they don't keep Torah and mitzvahs, and you know that that doesn't affect him. He's not interested in that, because he's coming and asking the question. So you can't explain to him, don't go to your grandparents, because you're going to have a very tough time and it's going to bring you down totally, because he doesn't understand that. That's why he's asking the question. So sometimes you're going to give him advice and say, look, I don't think it's a good idea. Don't leave Israel. Israel needs you now. You give him a different reason why. And really, that's not the real reason why. Sometimes if a rabbi knows you, he'll give you advice which is good for you, and he can't explain to you why it's good for you. But in most instances, a rabbi should be able to explain to you and think with you if he's giving you advice. Hopefully you'll find someone who has the time and has the knowledge and will be able to explain it to you. Those of you who chose to go to Mkubalim, to people who do Kabbalah, remember, when it comes to matters of this world, the Ibn Ezra says, even Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes. There's no Mekobal today who's greater than Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam writes in Halacha, Rabbi Akiva made mistakes in practical issues of guiding the whole Jewish people. There's no such concept that you walk into a rabbi, he never met you before, and he understands everything that's going on in your life. Doesn't exist in Judaism. You go to EGBG idol worshippers, they'll tell you whatever you want. You walk within Judaism, we expect, the halacha says, a dayan only knows what his eyes see. What his eyes see is an individual that came before him. You can gauge the individual. Very often when a guy stands before you, you understand a lot about him. I've had the good fortune of reading quite a few shiduchim that succeeded, and it was the first conversation I had with the person, because as you have experience with people, you learn to gauge people without talking to them. There are quite a few people that the first conversation I had with them, I set them up with their wives. Not one. I'm talking about a few. But that's, you learn how to understand people by just viewing them. But you can't assume that because you walked in before a rabbi, he knows everything about you because you just walked in and then he's a mekubal. That's ridiculous. It doesn't go with Torah Ashkafa. It's wrong. A lot of people like the easy way out. When they have questions in life, they go to someone who has a reputation of a mekubal. They ask him the question, he gives them an answer. Should I marry Sarah? No. Okay, Sarah, goodbye. I know we dated 2 years, I know it makes sense for us to get married, but he said no. Okay, I can't fight with that. I'm not interested in fighting with that. But guys keep coming to me with questions like this. It's a cop-out, it's an easy way out of life. You have to find a rabbi who's going to work with you, going to help you with your growth, People who look for someone who's going to make all their decisions in life for them are looking for cop-outs. In Judaism, life is not about cop-outs. Life is about making the decisions, the correct decisions, standing up to the tests of life, being able to analyze. Yes, take advice, take counsel. You have someone who has more experience than you, someone who's proficient with the Gemara, with the Halacha, with the Midrash, and he has a Masorah. Take advice from him. You have everything to gain, but remember, the decision is yours. When a rabbi gives you advice, he's doing the best he can, but he's not taking responsibility for the results. The responsibility lies on your shoulders. A rabbi can tell you, this is what I think. A rabbi can sometimes tell you, I'm very certain this is what's good for you, and I strongly recommend you go with it, even if right now it doesn't make sense to you. And if you have faith in him, and you have reason to have faith in him, you can listen to him. But if the reason you're listening to him is because he has a turban and 100 people walking around and kissing his hand, that's not a reason to listen to him. Now, the criterion are what we discussed. A rabbi who has tradition, a rabbi who knows halacha, a rabbi who you've verified is responsible and you can rely on in halacha, a rabbi who has time to listen and understand you, understand where you're coming from. If you're married, number one on the criterion is a rabbi who your wife feels comfortable with, and go with the list that we gave. Be'ezrat Hashem, you should succeed. You should succeed in growth. You should succeed in finding a rabbi who will be your rabbi, who will understand you and give you the halacha and the guidance that you need, help you with your growth, and rejoice as your family grows and prospers. Have a good night.